Well, good morning. Welcome to the Woodstock Hour. All of our guests this morning will come from Woodstock, and we couldn't be more thrilled about it. I spent the weekend there, and I had a blast, and you will too. All roads lead to Woodstock, after all, and if you know, you're there and you need to read, well, head right to the front door of the Golden Notebook Bookstore. Jackie Callahan of the Golden Notebook has been keeping track of what literary pursuits are worth our precious time and money, and she is here with an update. Jacqueline, thank you very much. Always good to see you.
Great to see you, Joe.
Thank you very much. So, pretty good weekend. There was the Woodstock Book Fest, and you guys were in the center of it all.
Yeah, the Woodstock Book Fest is an amazing thing every year. So many incredible authors. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. It was
and
a great treat.
Interviewing three of them, and you know, just so many wonderful authors. Khom Toy Binh, who is really one of my favorites. It was amazing to listen to him. And so,
really amazing stuff. All right. So you have quite a list. You have eight great books. So where would you like to begin?
Well, I thought I would start with The Sparse Holt Affair by the English author Alan Hollinghurst. And I'm in the middle of this book right now. It is such an incredible book. Alan Hollinghurst is writing about three generations of relationships, mostly among men and friends, and he's writing about gay men. The first section of the book takes place in Oxford, right at the time of World War II, and a group of friends become obsessed with one particularly fine-looking young man named David Sparsholt. And their obsession with him and with each other drives the plot, and then they go off to war. And then we're in 1965. And David, we see, is married and has a son, and his son is gay. It's unclear at first what's going on with David. And they spend a holiday in France, and there's repercussions of that holiday throughout the rest of the book. Alan Hollinghurst writes in such beautiful, incredible detail. It's just like a great place to live in his sentences. I highly recommend this book. It's just incredible.
The Sparsholt Affair, a novel. It is out now. Alan Hollinghurst.
Hollinghurst
is the author.
Yes.
All right.
The next book I wanted to talk about is by Jennifer Clement, and it is a book called Gun Love. And it's set in, it's a book that's written in a very lyrical, dreamy way. It makes me think of Gabriel Garcia Marquez. It has like some sort of
beautiful,
sort of fable-ish qualities to it. It's set in a trailer park in Florida where we meet Pearl, a 14-year-old who's living in a car with her mother, Margot. And Margot is a young mother, a runaway, who had Pearl and ran away from home because she didn't want to reveal Pearl's father. They live in a Mercury in a trailer park next to a garbage dump. Pearl's mom is very, very dreamy. She works at the VA hospital. Everyone in the trailer park has a gun. There's a disreputable yet magnetic pastor who lives there, Pastor Rex. And he eventually gets his congregation to start donating guns to him, which he is gun running to Mexico. Things do not end well for Pearl's mom, nor for Pearl. The interesting thing about this is sort of the Pearl and her mom's consciousness coming in and out, the permeation, the acceptance of guns in this culture, what it means. The inevitability of gun love, which means like the person that you're going to kill, the gun loves that person.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy, and it's so beautiful, and it's just, I don't know, it's the consciousness of guns. It's a book that's deeply, feels deeply Floridian, too.
Sure.
Jennifer Clement is a very interesting writer. She's an American that lives in Mexico. She's actually the head of Penn International and wrote a really beautiful book called Prayers for the Stolen, which is all about the trafficking of women in the narco culture in Mexico. This book is really, really beautiful. Highly recommend it.
Name of the book is Gun Love by Jennifer Clement. All right.
The next book, which actually comes out in about 2 weeks, is called Ghost Boys, and it's by Jewel Parker Rhodes. This is a middle grade book. This is a timely book, a difficult book to read, and a devastating book. It's set in Chicago. At the beginning of the book, a 12-year-old black boy named Jerome is shot and killed by a white police officer who mistakes his toy gun for a real one. This is obviously, deliberately, based on the case of Tamir Rice. The book switches in its narrative structure between Jerome being a ghost and trying to make sense of what happened to him and also observe what's going on with his family and the devastation that happens to them. And he's able to also communicate with Sarah, who's the daughter of the police officer. That's the only person he could communicate with. So we switch between his ghost voice and then what's happening in real time, how it comes that he has a toy gun in his hand. This book is visceral. It's just devastating to read. This is a book that's very deliberately written, I think, for those middle grade readers between 8 and 12 and 13 to experience something that's very real through the power of words. This is a book that's going to be talked about a lot, I think, in similar to Jason Reynolds' Long Way Down.
Yep.
And Jewel Parker Rhodes is the writer of many incredible books, Falling Towers, being one of them. And I highly recommend it to parents, to kids, to teachers. This is a book that we're all going to be hearing a lot about over the next few months.
It's really great. It's Jewel Parker Rhodes. The name of the book is Ghost Boys.
Yeah. So the next book that I wanted to talk about is actually the latest book by Brian Selznick. And it's actually Brian Selznick and David Serlin. And it is called Baby Monkey Private Eye. And I think Brian Selznick is a genius, actually. And his...
I agree with you.
Yeah, I really do. And his work as an illustrator and innovator in format in children's books and using the word children's lightly, although it really applies to this one, less so with his trilogy of other books. But what he's done here is, this is the format of this book, listeners, is much like a small hardcover book. It's about 80 pages, actually. But there's about one word on each page, okay? This is a read-aloud book. This book is so funny. Your 3-year-old, your 4-year-old are going to just crack up, okay? the first big letters are wait. And then there's, who is baby monkey? And then you see a really just the cutest little picture of a monkey that you could see. Not like that other famous monkey that we're all so familiar with, Curious George.
Right.
But baby monkey. He's a baby and he's a monkey and he's a private eye. And he is trying to find various things for the people that come to his office. Missing jewels, a pizza, things like that. The drawings done in Brian Selznick's characteristic style are gorgeous. You could cuddle up with your kids, with your grandkids, and read this book and just have the best time.
It is, let me say, I am such a fan of his work. Baby Monkey Private Eye, Brian Selznick and David Serlin. And, of course, Brian Selznick is known for the invention of Hugo Cabret and Wonderstruck in those books, and really great, great stuff. So, very cool. All right.
All right. Next book, which actually just came in the store yesterday, and I thought that I would pick it up just to mention it, is a book by Robert Bly called More Than True, The Wisdom of Fairy Tales. And Robert Bly is a famous American poet, essayist, and activist, and he's well known for his poetry as well as a book called Iron John, a book about men. And what he does in this book is he explores 6 fairy tales that are his favorite, that he's lived, and they're fairy tales like The Frog Prince, The 6 Swans, The Dark Man, and he charmingly retells the stories of each one, and then he turns them over and unpacks them and examines them and tries to sort of talk about what's caught our collective imagination, or as he more poetically says, an amazing trees of sound that grow inside the human memory and are fed by some longing for intimacy with others. You know, he's talking about the kind of the Jungian and Freudian things of how the psyche is trying to communicate what it knows to us through fairy tales over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, and talk about sort of the stages of development that one goes through. It's a really interesting, fun book. You could read a chapter and then talk about it for quite some time.
And that's the fun part.
That is the fun part.
Robert Bly is the author, and the name of the book is More Than True, The Wisdom of Fairy Tales.
The next book I want to talk about, I feel a little bad because it doesn't even come out till May, and I feel like no one will talk about this book because it's a weird music book, but I just loved it so much. And it's a book called Lament from Epirus, An Odyssey into Europe's Oldest Surviving Folk Music, and it's by Christopher C. King. And when you see, you'll see this book in bookstores, you'll notice it because it has a cover by R. Crumb. And the basic story of this book is that Christopher C. King, who's a musicologist and record collector in Virginia, he's obsessed with 78s, and he's vacationing in Istanbul, wanders into a store, discovers an old 78 by a the name of the musician on it is Alexis Zumbas. He can't listen to it till he comes back to the U.S. And when he does listen to it, it's sort of very forlorn, atonal clarinet and violin, and it like destroys him. And he becomes obsessed with the musician and the music, which is native to Epirus, which is a region straddling northwest Greece and southern Albania. It's remote. Christopher C. King is a beautiful writer, and he's writing about what the role of music and lament in our lives, and how the role of psychological healing of music. It explicates this region of Greece where he goes to repeatedly to experience how the music is performed in the villages. And if you're a fan of music writing, you know, I feel like there's lots of different kinds of music books. Sometimes you just want to find out about the musician, you know, about Joni right. Mitchell, about right. whoever. And those books can be beautiful and psychologically insightful. This is a really well-written book that is, I feel, a little bit more universal in terms of what music means. And if you're just especially into folk music and traditional music and also blues music, this touches a lot of places.
Great stuff. It comes out in May, you say?
In May, yeah. From Fantagraphics.
All right.
From Fantagraphics. Lament from Epirus.
Okay.
Yeah. One book that I've been reading a lot since January is an incredible book by Mark Epstein, and he is an MD and a therapist, a psychiatrist, and the book is called Advice Not Given, A Guide to Getting Over Yourself. And it's about the relationship, in some ways, in his practice between therapy and Buddhism and meditation and the role that meditation can play in helping us. And the organization of the book is along the sort of eight principles of Buddhism: right view, right motivations, right speech, action, right livelihood, mindfulness, concentration. And I've just enjoyed reading it very slowly, and like it clears me and it grounds me. And you know, there's lots of wonderful self-help books out there and lots of amazing books about grounding yourself and clearing yourself, and you know what, you cannot lose by picking this one up and giving it a read.
Advice Not Given. All right.
So very quickly to two books. I was really fortunate to see Marshall Karp in your waiting room. And we have actually on our shelves, stacked actually in front of, in our first table at the Golden Notebook, his latest collaboration, which I know he's going to talk a lot about, with James Patterson, called Red Alert. This is a fantastic series. And his dialogue, as usual, is sparkling and amazing. And living inside the heads of his duo in this series is a pretty good place to be.
Absolutely. Very, very funny and great stuff.
And one more.
I assume you have signed copies, yes?
I think Marshall will be coming in to sign
good.
Some.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, if he didn't, he will. Yeah. Okay.
And then very quickly, also out from a local Woodstock author is Allison Galen, If I Die Tonight. We'll be doing an event with her April 8th at The Colony. And this is another page turner of a thriller.
And she'll be in conversation with Abigail Thomas, so that'll be quite...
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. There'll be really music, so it'll be great fun.
Good stuff. Well, all of that happening at our at the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, and you can find out the great work they do by going to their website, goldennotebook.com. Better yet, visit them at 29 Tinker Street in Woodstock. They're right there, and it's a beautiful, beautiful store. And Jackie, thank you very much. It's always great to have you here.
Thanks so much, Joe.
We post each week's book picks and all of our segments online, wamc.org/roundtable. Again, you can find more about the Golden Notebook by going to goldennotebook.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.